Okay, would you turn your Bible to Genesis 1, and we will start. As we are going to study the history of the creation for this week and next week, we must note one very important thing. You will notice the three words that repeated 8 times in this chapter. They are, "Then God said." Then God said. You see, the king of the inventor, the Thomas Edison, he tried and failed and he tried and failed 10,000 times to make the right filament for the light bulb. 10,000 times. I'm glad he didn't quit. Otherwise, we would still using the little lamp. But because he was human, he had to try and fail and come up with the next option. For God, he just declared, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the difference between God and us. We can pretend all we want, but we cannot come up with something brand new. When I say brand new, that means never happened before. We all come up with something that is improvement from the before. Only God can create something out of nothing. Let's stop and pray. Father, again, we praise you. We adore you for who you are. What a great God you are. The creator of the universe, we worship you. And you are the lover of our souls. You extend your golden scepter toward us that with the mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your salvation that we are allowed to have. Though we are nobody, you choose to accept us and love us. We thank you. Father, as we open your word and open our hearts to receive your truth, Father, we are asking you to speak to us in such a way that we may clearly understand your truth and anoint our heart that we may receive with the wisdom and glad heart, and anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we pray for the President Trump and the leaders in this country. Majority of them wants to do what they want to do, but we are asking you to speak to them, they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so that they may do what you want and bring glory to your name. And we are asking you to protect the President Trump, and also he may do what is right in your sight. He may grow in you, in your word. And we pray for the troops, and especially the one in the harm's way, away from their families, away from their friends. We are asking you to bring them back to their families safe and sound. Father, we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and firefighters. I heard that another officer got shot. Father, we ask you to intervene and that he may recover completely. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn your Bible to chapter 1, verse 2 of Genesis? We're going to go through each day. Day 1, we see the light. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So, would you underline next phrase? The evening and the morning were the first day. Based on the idea of the without form and void, some Christian groups came up with what they're called gap theory. Have you ever heard that word, gap theory? They claim that there were a long period of time between verse 1 and verse 2. I don't know where they came up with that idea. There is no biblical ground for it. There was a chronological time gap between the verse 1 and, verse 2. Most of gap theory used, the theory explains the fossil record assigning old and extinct fossil to this infinite gap. problem with the fossil theory, here's the thing. The Bible clearly and plainly explains that death came from the result of the sin by Adam. Am I making sense? According to Romans 5:12, we're going to look at it. Since fossil is the result of death, am I correct? Have you ever seen any living fossil? Huh? You're okay. We have a few guys here, living fossils. That's what happens when you live in Green Valley. We have a living fossil walking around. Yeesh. Since the fossil is the result of death, they could not happen before the Adam's time. Am I making sense? This is a logical conclusion. I'm not asking you to check your brain at the door to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to use the logic. Fossil means dead, and but it cannot happen before Adam because Adam hasn't committed sin yet. In other words, the gap theory is another heresy that goes against the creation of God in a literal 6 days. So keep your finger there and go to Romans chapter 5, please. See if I spoke the truth. I asked the Pastor Merrill and Victor to let the young people come in because they, at their schools, they get challenged. They are brainwashed. They get brainwashed that creation is a stupid theory, but the evolution is the fact. What we are going through will arm them to fight against their idea. Verse 12 in chapter 5. Therefore, just as though the one man sin entered the world, and the death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Because of man's sin, the whole earth was cursed. And from then on, we go through death. By the way, verse 2 is the first mention of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit in the Bible. First step from the chaos to order is what? Bring the light. This is also the way that God works in our lives. We were living in darkness, were we not? Before Jesus Christ. We were living in darkness. What did he do? He brought the light into our hearts through Jesus Christ. So we see the truth. We see the difference between light and darkness spiritually. And we see the truth and the false. When we step into the dark room, we don't pick up the baseball bat and start to swing it to overcome darkness. But we simply turn on the light. And when we face the darkness in our lives, instead of fighting with our own strength, we must let the light of God take its presence. Many people wonder if these were the literal 24 days, or if this was gap theory people said, geological age. Some say that God created the world in literal six days, and other people say, well, no, it was a long period, six different time. Most plain and simple meaning of a text is that he created a literal 6 days. And I'm going to explain to you. What does the Bible tell us about the meaning of day in Genesis 1? A word that can have more than one meaning, depending on the context. For example, in English, plain old English, the day can be used in 14 different ways. And you're thinking, really? Is that your broken English definition? No, let me show you. Not broken English. Let me put the phrase. Back in my grandfather's day, it took 12 days to drive across the country during the day. There are three times the word day would be mentioned. Am I correct? What's the first day mean? It's a time, period of time, in general sense. And second day is a number used, it's an ordinary day. 12 actual days. What about the third one? It's the lighted portion of the 24-hour period. So 3 days mentioned, same word, but three different ways. Am I making sense? To understand the meaning of a day in Genesis 1:1, we should go back to the Hebrew word, how the Hebrew word was used, the day. is known as Yom. And in context, let's consider this. Number one, typical concordance will illustrate that Yom can have a range of meaning, a period of light, a contrast to night, 24-hour period, time, or specific point of time, or a year, depending on the context, just like English, right? Second thing, a classic, well-respected Hebrew English lexicon, which means fancy way to say dictionary, has 7 headings and many subheadings for the meaning of Yom. But it defines the creation days of Genesis as ordinary day under heading day as defined by evening and morning. Amen. Third point, a number and the phrase evening and morning are used each of the 6 days of the creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. Outside of Genesis 1, Yom, Hebrew word day, is used with the numbers with 359 times, and each time means ordinary day. So, with that in mind, why should the Genesis 1 would be exceptional? Am I making sense so far? Outside of Genesis, Yom is issued with the word evening and morning 23 times. Evening and morning appeared in association without Yom 38 times. All 61 times, the text referred to the ordinary day. Again, why should this be any exceptional? I met a young man who came to our church. And he said he wants to. He felt that he is called to be a evangelist. So I said, okay, I will disciple you. So he came to our home once a week, and we studied for a couple hours at a time. Bright young man, and he loved to study the Word. But when we came to the creation of God, he was stuck. He could not comprehend how can it be just literal 24 hours. And he said, well, in nuance is different. And said, what nuance? Well, that just does not sound right to me. What it sounds not right to you doesn't mean anything. Bible says clearly. I tried to explain to him. And he insists that he's right. So I said, you know, if you insist this, if you cannot believe that God created entire universe in literal 6 days, don't expect that church will endorse you as our evangelist. He looked at me like a deer looking at the headlight. He's like, what do you mean? So I said, simple. This is what we believe. You go against what we believe, I will not endorse you. He didn't last long. He went on his way. Let me make it very simple. Whether you believe it or not, God created heaven and earth in literal 6 days. God doesn't need your approval. You get that? Day 2, he created air spaces. Verse 6, then God said, let there be the firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from, note this phrase, the water which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day. Stop there again, please. The idea of firmament is expanded in New International Version and New American Standard Bible, and space, it was translated space in New Living Translation. They're all good. The water of the land is separated from the water vapor in the sky. Here, the Bible recognizes the existence of the water vapor in the sky. I should note that the water which were, in verse 7, at the end, water which above the firmament. The water above the firmament does probably constitute a vast blanket of water vapor. Such a vapor blanket would greatly change the ecology of the earth. First point, it would serve as a global greenhouse and maintaining essentially uniform the pleasant temperature all over the world. Same kind of temperature. And without, second point, without great temperature variation, there would be no significant wind and water rain cycle could not form. There would be no rain as we know today. And all the ladies will say amen because there's no wind to blow your hair off, right? And there would be a lush and tropical vegetation all over the world, fed not by rain, but by a rich evaporation and the condensation cycle, resulting in heavy dew and all ground fog. You know, have you been in a greenhouse, really big greenhouse? It's kind of feel moisture, humid, yes. Some people said, some people who have a lot of knowledge about the skins, they said it's good for skin. It keeps the skin more moist and less, I guess, it keeps you younger. I don't know the difference. Another point, fourth point. Vapor blanket would filter out ultraviolet radiation, cosmic ray, and other destructive energies bombarding the planet. They are known to be the cause of the mutation which decrease human longevity. There it is. Human and animals' lifespan would be greatly increased. And we will, as we study the book of Genesis, we will find out some people live 800-900 years. And in our opinion, that cannot be. Well, before the Noah's flood, yes, it was very possible. Fifth point, a vapor blanket would provide the necessary reservoir for the potential worldwide flood. Remember, when the Lord separates water, water in the firmament went into the sky, right? Make the blanket. At the same time, what about the water on the ground? Many of them absorbed into the ground. Write it down somewhere for me. Water on the ground, much of them went into the ground. And I will bring it back to you when we study later. Speaking of heaven, there are three types of heaven according to the Bible. When the term heaven is not used symbolically in Scripture, it usually refers to one of the threes. Number one, first heaven, our immediate atmosphere, we often call it sky. Second heaven is outer space, sun, moon, and stars, we often call universe. Third heaven is the home of God. And there's where we will go after our death or right after the rapture. And I know some of you are thinking, you got it wrong, preacher. There are seven heavens. And you say, have you not heard? I'm in seventh heaven. Well, in a way, that's a kind of saying. However, it's not completely somebody made up. Babylonian cult, Hinduism, and Islam subscribe seven heavens. But according to the Word of God, there's no mention of seven heavens. Are you with me? So if you're trying to insist seven heavens unless you want to be a heretic, I highly recommend you not to go there. All right, third day three, we see the dry land and plant life. Then God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters that he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb that yield the seed, and a fruit tree that yield the fruit, according to its kind. Note that, please. Whose seed is in itself and on the earth? And it was so. Verse 12. The earth brought forth grass and herb and yield the seed according to its kind, and a tree that yield the fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Stop there, please. If we were witnessing God's creation on the third day, have you ever seen some of this nature film? The way they show the flower grows really fast? It's more like that thing all over. Talk about miracle grow. You don't even have to dump that thing on. That's what I do. I dump the miracle grow on the plant. Yes, I have a green thumb. No, I don't. I have a black thumb. All this happened before the creation of the sun, because the sun was not even available until fourth day. Remember, fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars. So this plant already contained enough nutrition. And what about the light? Well, God created the light, remember? The first day. So that's not an issue. It was growing without the sun. Have you ever thought about that? It's like, wow, how can it possible? Because we haven't not think about any light without sun. Think about it. At the end of the Bible, we have a book of Revelation. And it mentioned that there is no sun and moon. When God created heaven and earth, he didn't include sun and moon. Isn't it cool that God finished and started pretty much the same? He just have a light, his own light, without sun and moon. I should note the word according to its kind. That means one kind of plant cannot turn into another kind of plant. Daisy always produce more daisy. Pine tree always produce more pine tree. Daisy will not produce a cactus. Pine tree will not produce chihuahua. Why chihuahua? I don't know. Just something to say. In other words, no evolution. Nothing from the one species to the another species. Am I making sense? In this plant, for this plant to survive, I'm sure that the Lord created air. Can you touch the air? No, we cannot. God created the air for a plant to survive. But the problem is, how the evolutionist is going to explain the air? Who come up with the air? Have you ever thought about it? They said, well, the macro evolution, the micro evolution, all of that fancy word, but they cannot come up with the explanation of the existence of air. All right, let me put it this way. The air we breathe contains 98% of nitrogen, and 20.95% of oxygen, and 0.93% of argon, and 0.04 carbon dioxide, and a small amount of other gases. And I know young people will say, well, I can add some more with the methane gas. Yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure we can have the bunch of cows that add more methane gas. If we have too much, listen, but this is not funny. If we have too much oxygen, more than 20.98%, 95% oxygen in the air, soon as the first person light up the barbecue grill, whole earth will go up in kaboom, smoke. However, God generate just right combination so it will not go up. And you, of course, the evolutionists will say, well, plant generated. I get that. They do. They do generate, plants generate oxygen. But plant was at the beginning, but if there was no oxygen, how would they survive? Am I making sense? Being logically, it does not make sense. If they did not have oxygen, how could it survive? Somebody had to put it in there. Evolutionists don't have an explain for that. Day 4, verse 14, please. Then God said, let there be light. Let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be, for the, note these words, please, signs and seasons for the days and years, and let them be for the lights of the firmament of the heaven to give the lights on the earth. So it was so. Then God made two great lights, greater light to rule the day and lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth and the rule over the day and rule over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Stop there, please. God knew exactly how far he had to put sun from the earth. The distance is 92.96 million miles. Just hop in your car and start to drive. You'll get there someday. If the earth was any closer to the sun, it would be boiling point. If it was far away, it would be cold, frozen. And on top of all, this earth spins. Do you know we are spinning right now? Guess how fast we are spinning. Anyone can guess? 60 miles per hour? Huh? Come on, speak up. 1,000. Of course, he cheated already again. 1,000 miles per hour. He's spinning. And you may say, how come we don't feel that speed? We would not feel the speed as long as... Remember, even you are in a convertible, if there is no wind, you would not feel the speed unless you speed up or slow down. As long as you are maintaining the same speed all the time, you don't feel the speed. All right, 1,000 miles per hour on its axis. And it's not straight up and down. Then if that's the case, the sunlight would hit one spot only, and another place will be extremely cold. If it didn't rotate, one place will be always hot, the other place will be always cold. It's spinning around, and not only that, it's spinning like this, in angle. So we get the four seasons. Even Southern Arizona out here, we get the four seasons. And yeah, exactly, right? We have a four seasons, you know that. Fall, we have a still hot. Winter, kind of cool. With spring, it's already hot. And the summer, are you kidding me? Some have mistakenly viewed this word, the signs and the seasons, that I asked you to note in verse 14, as their biblical basis for astrology. They call this sign zodiac. Have you ever heard that? Zodiac. And it is plain wrong and pure demonic to get into astrology. Let me explain. In astrology, they use the stars and planets for the future guidance. And the Bible says that they are merely display the handiwork of God for the glory of God. And what a dumb thing to follow astrological charts such as Gemini, Leo, Virgo, etc. I better not hear you asking somebody, what's your birth chart? Why are you Gemini? That kind of thing. Get over that stupidity, folks. Don't follow that kind of demonic things. These things come from the Babylonian and sun god of Egypt. Rather, we should trust one who made all these objects in heaven. However, many humans have repeatedly reject the Creator to worship the creatures. Go to Romans chapter 1, please. By the way, many unbelievers, especially homosexual community, hate this Romans chapter 1. Keep it, memorize it, put it in your heart. Chapter 1, verse 25. Are you with me so far? Am I making sense? Logical sense? Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than what?
Creator.
Who is blessed forever. Amen. Listen carefully, please. Ancient Chinese people came up with the exact same concept. Chinese zodiac has 12 categories like ancient Babylonians. Out of that, you would see 12 animals symbolizing dragon, stork, tiger, dog, chicken, monkey, and snake, etc. Represent each type of person. So if you're born 1956, that's my birth year, you would be the year born in the year of the monkey. If that's the case, since there was only 12, the people who was born in 1944, in 1968, in 1980, and you go on every 12 years, they're supposed to have the same fate and same future, right? They don't. Have you ever seen the yin-yang symbol? With a circle and it was one black and one white? Yeah, it's supposed to be balancing things. That's another pure demonic thing. Don't get in there, folks. And you may say, how do you know? Really?
No.
Look at me. I know you get confused. What? Aren't you Swedish? Have you ever wondered if there is any life outside of the Earth? Of course, Hollywood loves to make alien movies. And all these alien movies, and Avengers series, all of that, and coming up with the aliens. Obviously, U.S. government has a great interest. They spend $100 million a year to find extraterrestrial intelligence outside of the Earth. You know, in my opinion, they should spend that $100 million for the intelligent people and for the Washington, D.C. I like the way verse 16 says about the stars almost like afterthought. God created the sun and moon. Oh, yeah, stars. Hey, I forgot. No, God doesn't forget. He flung the stars, a few gazillion of them, into the universe. Two applications for you. Number one, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Believe it by faith. Whether you believe it or not, that's the truth, and truth remains. You can argue all you want until it blows in your face. And you can deny it. And you're the one who is going to be wrong. God doesn't need your approval, as I said before. God doesn't need my approval. J. Vernon McGee, the late J. Vernon McGee, great Bible teacher, with a southern drawl, he taught me a great deal of things about the Bible. He used to often said, God says, I believe, that settles. I beg to differ. God says, period. He doesn't need my approval. He doesn't need my agreement. God created heaven and earth. Period. You with me?
Yep.
Second application. God created everything in literal 24 or 6 days. Period. Again, believe it. I try to be logical. I try to be, how should I say, not so much into the faith thing, even though it requires a faith. You can counter the unbelievers with this study material. You with me on that? Young people, when you go to school, don't ever think that you're believing fable or some fairy tale. You don't. You have the truth. They don't. With me, young man? Go with the pride. God selected you. God chose you. Don't ever think that you have to hide your faith because you are not one of those popular people. You are already popular in the sight of God. Let's stand up and pray.